We were talking about rope making, and you were going to give me a quickie demo.
Yeah, those materials were all used for making ropes, and they were all twisted together.
Mm-hmm.
Twisting anything together gives it added strength.
Mm-hmm.
Individually, the threads are easily broken.
Mm-hmm.
That's the same as making wool to knit with.
Mm-hmm.
The spinners spun the wool into a thread, into a yarn, and hence you get the saying, he spins a good yarn.
Mm-hmm.
That's the origin of it.
Mm.
And that's also the origin of most of the spinning was done with by unmarried ladies.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why unmarried ladies are called spinsters.
Of course.
I feel stupid telling this.
Not at all. I'm loving it. I think it's great. I'm getting an education, finally. So rope making,
but you get the same thing, as I say, with wool. Wool might be easier for you to understand, in that they put it through the spinning wheel. You've seen
and
the spinning wheel,
exactly,
and it's all twisted together. It's all short fibers to start with.
Mm-hmm.
It comes off the sheep. I can spend half an hour talking about wool if you want the whole background of wool, and it becomes quite strong. And then if you wanted to go a step further, you can knit it. You could knit the Irish people sold it quite often at the stage after spinning, just a ball of wool,
right,
or a sheen, and you could oh my goodness, strange people arriving. There's a retired librarian that used to run the show here, and she's up for today for this lecture of yours.
Oh God.
Hmm?
Oh God.
Yeah, Chris, she's called. She's retired there about 6 months ago. And it's just strange to see her. But to get back to the wool,
mm-hmm,
as I say, it's an easier to understand concept, I think.
Aye.
And you could sell it after you've spun it into a thread, into the yarn. You could sell it to knitters.
Right.
You could sell it to people who had looms, and they would weave it into tweed or cloth or material, which they in turn would sell to the tailors,
mm-hmm,
and the tailors would make the suits from it.
Mm.
Or if you were a bit more ambitious, you could knit a pair of socks and sell the socks. You could knit a cap, you could knit a cardigan and sell those in the marketplace.
Mm.
And that generated cash, which was hard to come by.
Mm-hmm.
This was the thing, to get away from the maintenance culture, things that keep you alive and things that you're going to consume,
mm,
but no money from.
Mm-hmm.
To get away from that, something that produces hard cash. That was a big thing, or the effort they had or wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And knitting the socks and knitting the caps and knitting the hoods and whatever, give them cash.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to have cash, of course, in the old days to pay the landlord the rent, the 6 monthly rent that had to go to the landlord. And if you failed to do that, you ran the risk of being outed or put out of your house.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another chapter of history. You could go down that lane,
mm-hmm,
for an hour. But the wool scenario, it took about 6 spinners to keep a loom going. And as you probably know, the spinning and weaving of the flax and the wool were two very prominent Irish cottage industries.
True.
During the 1700s, 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
And practically every other small cottage was involved in this. And they brought in, they augmented the income,
mm-hmm,
to those people. Those people were probably small farmers,
mm-hmm,
with 15 or 20 acres. And that wasn't all that viable on its own.
No.
And it needed that just for their own personal maintenance.
Mm.
To grow oats, and they maybe grazed a cow to get the milk or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Very simple life. But At night, he would, when after he'd come in from the farm and get his tea, he maybe would go and spend a couple of hours on the loom, weaving, and his wife and children. That's why it was called a cottage industry, because the children were involved as well.
Mm.
The whole family was involved. Mm. And you, coming in as a visitor, would be given a wee job to do. And you'd be sitting gossiping about all the news of the day, but you'd be working for them because of the processes that the wool had to go through.
Mm.
It had to be teased by hand. And that's a simple thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And you could talk at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And children could do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the mother usually carded it. Carding is combing, straightening out the fibres.
Mm-hmm.
And it was carded. And maybe a girl of 10 or 11 or 12 would do the carding. And then the mother would put it on the spinning wheel and spin it into the yarn.
Mm.
And go through the other processes, either selling it as a yarn or knitting and selling the knitted product or selling it to, maybe they didn't have a loom.
Uh-huh.
Sell it to somebody at a loom.
Right.
It usually took about 6 spinners to keep a loom going. And there was a bit of cash maybe for that, or on many occasions maybe a swap.
Oh, right.
For, you know, if you're running out of potatoes, or
exactly.
You maybe a rabbit, good bit of meat.
So bartering really for it.
Bit of bartering.
Yeah.
Or turf or something, you know, that if you didn't, that you need it,
uh-huh.
And you would use this to get that.
Uh-huh.
And but cheap cotton started to come in.
From America?
From South America.
Mm-hmm.
It was produced by the slave labour.
Mm-hmm.
And consequently, its production costs were very low.
Nothing.
And then they were able to undercut the price that these Irish people were getting in the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
For their finished products,
mm-hmm.
whatever they had knit, or they were selling the wool, or selling a knitted garment, or whatever, or selling the tweed
mm-hmm.
cloth, or the cloth, or the to the tailors in which to make the clothes from, and it no longer became inviable, and that gave rise to mass emigration by the Irish people.
Mm.
Many of those people, it was no longer viable, and you started to think, what am I going to do? I haven't enough to keep my family. And of course the answer was always to America.
Mm-hmm.
Give rise to lots of it.